Let's read together Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. In this first half of Proverbs chapter 12, we have 14 more Proverbs of wise advice for living the life that God has given us. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Whoever loves instruction or discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thoughts or plans of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Let's begin our study of this first half of Proverbs chapter 12 with some background notes. The theme of Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is the application of truth to life. It is the ability to live life skillfully. It involves good judgment and common sense. Now, living a godly life in an ungodly world is not easy. Would you agree? This is why a good working knowledge of the book of Proverbs is very valuable. Proverbs is probably the most practical book in the Old Testament. It covers all aspects of life. And that brings us once again to our doctrinal point for the Proverbs of Solomon. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, whoever loves instruction or discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Based on this proverb, would you say that you are wise or stupid in God's eyes? The idea in this proverb is not that our attitude should be, oh, please hit me. I just love to be disciplined. No. The love here is in contrast to the hate. It's not easy to be told you're wrong and you need to get your act together, but it may be true. If you can handle that knowledge and correction and instruction and discipline, then you are wise. But if you can't, and you always try to justify yourself, and you do so by finding fault with those who are trying to help you, then you are hung up with your own pride, and you are stupid as far as God is concerned. Verse 2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. This is the way it works, whether we like it or not, in God's moral universe. Just as much as the law of gravity works in God's physical universe. The good man here, of course, is the godly person who is trying to do what's right. They will be blessed by God Himself. But whoever has sinful and wrong intentions will be judged by God. Any apparent exceptions to this moral law are not exceptions. They are only temporary delays. In the end, all evil and evil agendas and evil intentions will be judged. Verse 3, a man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. Now, this proverb has many applications. Let me ask you, do you want a strong and solid and stable and blessed life and family life? What about the business you're building or the ministry you're leading? You want these important areas to be strong and stable and blessed? Then always do the right thing. That's the point. Always do the right thing. Never cheat or cut corners or deal under the table. Always bring God's approval into your formulas for living. Verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You know, some years ago, a Christian man said to my wife, Margie, "You must get bored having to listen to your husband preach all the time." I found out later that she told him that I was her favorite preacher. Well, there's an indication of the first part of this proverb. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Unfortunately, there are wives who shame their husbands by openly talking to others about his faults. That's the second part of the proverb. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Verse 5. The thoughts or plans of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Let me ask you, when another person joins your circle of friends, do you think to yourself, how can I help that person? Or do you think, how can that person help me? It's a true statement that your agenda for yourself and others is a reflection of your character. Have you ever been the target of someone's selfish agenda? Not very pleasant, is it? The next obvious question would be, have we ever had a selfish agenda for someone else, even a good friend? We all need to be careful here, especially those of us who sell Bible land tours. Verse 6, the words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Here's a further elaboration on the proverb of verse 5. Hidden agendas not only involve actions, but words as well. And words are powerful. Words can be used to make false accusations and to entrap the innocent and for slander and for gossip and for revising history to be politically correct, etc., etc. But words can also be used to tell the truth and rescue people who are attacked by lies and for setting the record straight. Writing truthful editorials that expose evil, for example, can be very powerful words used for righteousness. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. This proverb reminds us of the parable that the Lord gave about the two houses with different foundations, doesn't it? I'm reading Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. From Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Notice how in the proverb, the righteous foundation gives stability to the house. That is the family. Verse 8, a man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. We find in Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that this principle is to be carried out in church discipline. I'm reading Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Titus 3, 10 and 11. Verse 9, Proverbs 12, 9. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. Now, the main idea in this proverb is to live modestly within your means, even if it means that you have to get your hands dirty, rather than living beyond your means by making a vain show, but then ending up in the poorhouse. Now we will come back to verse 10 for our practical application for this first half of Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, But he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. This proverb is very practical as to priorities. Get your work done first, before rest and relaxation and hobbies and trivial pursuits. How many need to hear that proverb today? Verse 12, the wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. A contemporary application of this proverb would be, we make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. In other words, no wheeling and dealing or scheming or using some unscrupulous method. Verse 13, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. You know, truth is like a jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces go together so that when you tell the truth, it fits the overall truth and proves you right and righteous. But if you lie, it doesn't fit the truth. It's like a piece out of place in the jigsaw puzzle. And you have to tell another lie and then another lie to try and make it all fit together. Eventually, you're so entangled that you are caught in a web of your own making. Many teenagers have experienced this by trying to cover up some wrongdoing when their parents start to question them. Verse 14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Now, we usually apply the biblical principle, you reap what you sow, to actions, whether they be good actions or bad actions. The same is true of words, as we see in this proverb. If we sow good words of kindness and respect and justice and gentleness, we will reap the fruit and reward of respect and favor. That is a general truth that you will find in life. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And now what about practical application for this first half of Proverbs chapter 12? Widen your circles of care. Widen your circles of care. Verse 10, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. In that day, life was much more dependent on animals than today. And the way a man treated his oxen and beasts of burden was a good indication of his character. A good man not only cared for the needs of his family and close friends, but for his animals as well. He made sure that they had enough food and rest and care when they were sick. He didn't just use his animals. A cruel man, on the other hand, displayed his true character by the fact that what he considered tender mercies was neither tender nor merciful. Now, what about us? If we only care for ourselves and our own interests, it is a good indication of our selfish character. But if our care extends to wider circles, beyond family and friends, to neighbors and people we work with, and people in need, it is a good indication of righteous character. Let us not be guilty of just using people that are outside our inner circle. So where are we in our care and kindness in light of God's word? Widen your circles of care.